On tonight's episode of Drive with Woody Fit and Bower Power,
what?
We talk a little bit about what's going on in our lives. They're a little crazy at the moment.
Stress.
Yes. Stress. And, of course, there's no conversation with stress that doesn't come without parenting. So
damn
we talk
right.
about that a little bit. We talk about perspective, social media. We talk about anxiety. A lot of the reality and fakery that you see on social media, and kind of some of our thoughts on all that, how to implement things to keep our kids from some of the darker side, and just sort of talk a little bit about what we want to do.
This is we went deep on this episode, I thought, and we really kind of dove into like Chris said, reality and what's not real, and dealing with that and being able to differentiate between the two, especially for young minds, that can be difficult. So,
yeah, for young minds, for even for adults, for everybody,
mm-hmm.
We kind of talk about how we want to apply the things that we've learned in our own lives. But this is definitely the Titanic episode because we on a deep dive into our
this
thoughts.
This was deep as shit.
You're either going to love us or hate us after this.
Yeah. 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 You're not wrong there.
I don't think you'll hate us.
No. I think you're going to enjoy this episode. So without further ado, let's get into this episode of Drive with Woody Fit and Bower Power.
Right on. Okay.
I think I got it. I think we're okay. No, dude, they don't make things like they used to anymore. I mean, not that I've been around for, like, a hell of a long time, but, like, I've only had this, I don't even know how long I've had this fucking phone, but, like, this shit keeps, like, I can't use a normal charger on it, because, it won't charge, and the headphone jack, like, doesn't headphone jack. Like, I guess it just forgot how to do its job because it'll just spit it out. Like, I'll put a, a headphone jack in and it'll just, like, work its way out. Like, it's gotten loose over time. Hmm. And, yeah, it's a pain in the ass, dude.
It sucks. I've definitely been there before. Well, actually, thinking back to when I had Atari, I remember. We used to have to put, like, a block of wood or something on where the controller plugged in. Just on one of the controller ports, but you had to put a block of wood on there so it would apply pressure in a certain way for it to remain connected. So, I don't know.
That's funny.
Like, I definitely get what you're saying about,
yeah.
You know, yeah, they definitely don't make things like they used to, but at the same time, they used to make pieces of shit, too.
Yeah, they still, you know, whatever. But now they're just more expensive pieces of shit.
And we have more of them. I mean, actually,
oh my God.
Sitting in front of me right now on my computer desk, I have my iPhone, I have my iPad, I have my old-ass computer from 2006, which still works.
Wow.
And I have my newer couple-year-old computer that seems to have a dead motherboard, so it's pretty much dead.
So you have a bunch of technology on one table from different eras.
Well,
different era technology all at once.
And also my wife's computer is also here, so yeah. Yeah, I got a couple different eras covered, and man, this little netbook. Do you remember when netbooks were kind of like a thing?
Vaguely, yeah. They were like the miniature laptops, weren't they?
Yeah, it was like before Chromebooks. Like they still ran Windows.
Mm-hmm.
They're just smaller, but they didn't have any drives. Well, I bought this. They came out about the same time as tablets, and tablets kind of like won over, you know.
Okay.
But anyway, I bought it for a trip and served its purpose, and it kind of continues to. A lot of stuff is outdated, so, like, some banking websites I can't use because it tells me I need to upgrade the browser, but I can't because it runs Windows XP, and they don't support that far back anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Dude, I had a laptop that had Linux. Do you know what Linux was?
It's still around, dude.
Is it really?
Some people really like it. Yeah.
Wow.
They actually just upgraded all the computers in my work to Windows 10, and it's pretty terrible. They're all slower now.
Really?
Yeah. But I don't know. I think that a lot of times network computers, there's a lot of things that you can do wrong when you set them up. And I think that with big companies, a lot of times that happens. It's been my experience anyway.
Dude, speaking of which, this Monday was like classic, total classic Monday at work, because I'm generally like one of the first person there.
Mm-hmm.
And I get there and I go to sign on and I can get on my computer and then I have no internet. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, whatever.
I'm
like
to search eBay without the internet. I mean, my job.
Do my job. But like eventually I was like, whatever. It'll fucking eventually. Internet will come back up. It'll be fucking fine. And then it didn't come back up until like, now mind you, I get to work at like 6:15 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't end up having internet until like 10:00 in the morning. And we had like, I had this spare laptop from before the transition between companies, mm-hmm. that was still connected to the old Wi-Fi, because they say never took the old Wi-Fi down. And because the old Wi-Fi wasn't managed by our current corporate managers, mm-hmm. I was still able to get on the network. So I was able to do stuff, but like I had to use this tiny little, it's a Surface Pro. So it was like just like a small screen and like tiny keyboard and shit. And it was just like, wow, it sucked. But it was like, this is how today's going to go. All right. And it was just terrible. But you're right. Like one little thing. And apparently it was, I guess, I don't know where on the corporate level that the network went down, but the network went down. And there was literally nothing that any store, and like we have 1,100 stores, mm-hmm. and I'm sure it wasn't all 1,100 that were without internet. But at least our region, we weren't the only store without internet. And there was like nothing we could do until corporate like woke up. And corporate doesn't wake up until like 9 in the morning. So it was like, fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a pain in the ass.
It doesn't sound fun.
Mm-mm. Gotcha. Dude, gotcha. This week, so I know we've both been like super crazy busy this week, but I think this week has been, at least so far, the most consistent I've been training in like at least 5-6 weeks. It's been terrible. It has been really terrible for me. I've just been not, like, I haven't been consistent at all. I'll hit a good, like, I'll get a good workout in, and then I'll go, like, you know, I try to not to go longer than 2 days before doing another workout, but, like,
mm-hmm.
some days I'll go, like, 3-4 days, and it's just another thing comes up, you know what I mean? And it's not, like, it's not, what am I trying to say? It's not like I couldn't find the time to do it. It's just that recently I've been so stressed with everything that at the end of the day, you know, if I'm not doing something, I'm just like, all I want to do is do nothing. And so it's been really fucking rough for me lately. And I haven't I don't even know what anybody else is doing. Like, I have no idea what's going on with you, because I haven't even been, I think it's been a week since I've been on Instagram, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, I think you posted something today, and that was the first thing I saw from you in a while, so I figured you were pretty busy. I haven't been posting too much either, because, I kind of started this week off with a cold, and so one little trick that I learned with night shift, like my transition day, that, like, when I get home from work, mm-hmm. I will sleep less than the normal, like 7.5 or 7 hours of sleep that I try and get.
Right.
And So usually I'll shorten that so that I'll be tired again by nighttime. But if I'm like extremely exhausted or if I feel like I'm getting sick, sometimes I'll give myself the normal amount of sleep or just shy, kind of to give my body that extra rest that it seems like it needs.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to do that on Tuesday. Totally backfired. I couldn't fall asleep until 2 a.m. And my son was up at 6:30 on the dot, like usual. Wow. I was just dragging all day. So I've kind of, between the cold thing and that, mm-hmm. I've really just, it's been a struggle bus kind of week. But,
yeah,
I did get one day of training in this week so far, and I should be able to get a little bit in tomorrow.
That's better than nothing.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I keep telling myself recently is like, you know what? At least, you know, you're not working out as much as you want to, but at least you're doing something,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, and I used to feel like it was all or nothing. Like, oh, I'm not training today, so fuck my diet. You know what I mean? I'll just eat whatever I feel like it. I won't eat like what mm-hmm. I have planned for myself to eat. But I don't feel that way anymore. You know what I mean? I don't feel that way. And it was the same way about training. It was like, if I can't do a full workout, I'm not even going to work out. And I mean, now some days I'll just do 30, 45 minutes of, you know, squatting or benching, or, you know, I'll just do shoulders and arms.
Yeah.
Just something like, not easy, but I'll try to make it challenging, but I'll just kind of wing it. And like, hey, at least it's better than, you know, sitting on the couch and not training at all.
Not doing anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important thing to keep in the back of your mind, is that, you know, in the whole grand scheme of things, one workout does not make a very big difference in you reaching your goals, right? Like, let's be honest, like the actual physical and psychological effects that you get from one workout does not really have a huge impact on your end goal. Like, it's just, you're not gonna, you know, do 4 sets of 10 on the bench press and wake up and notice that your chest is bigger. It just,
right. Yeah.
It doesn't make,
wake up the next day and be like, man, I am hella swole right now.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, one day you will wake up and maybe feel like that, but
right.
It's not because of the workout you did the day before. It's
yeah.
A result of a lot of those workouts
put
together.
Exactly. It's a cumulative effect.
Exactly.
And it's everything that adds up over time. So because of that, because it's not just one workout that makes a big difference, it's so cumulative. You know, it's like putting money into the bank. Like, if you only put money into the bank when you only have $100 to put in the bank,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, every deposit will be $100 and your bank account will go up by $100. But if you have $99, you don't put that money in the bank because you don't have $100. Well, if you just put money in the bank whenever you got extra money, even if it's only $20, you're constantly building that account.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah, you know, it's you're putting money in more frequently, let's say, and maybe it's not making as big jumps, you know, and maybe over time it ends up growing faster than when you only have $100 left over to put in, you know, because maybe some weeks you don't have $100 to put in, so you use it elsewhere. You know what I mean? So it's, you kind of can think about it like that. Like, yeah, it's not a full workout, but you still sent a signal, you know, for your body to adapt and change. And, you know, even though it wasn't what you wanted to do, it was something. And you kept up with, you know, at the minimum, like, the consistency.
Yeah. And I actually really like that parallel, because I feel like, you know, I like to set up things for savings, like a set amount that's just taken out of my paycheck that goes to savings, you know,
right.
or whatever account, and because you never see it. And then mm-hmm. one day you look at it and you're like, oh, that's a lot nicer than I thought it would be. Cool.
Right.
And right. I feel like, you know, when you're in like the beginning phases of exercise, it's definitely, there's a lot more conscious effort that's involved. You know, I feel like you have to decide every day that you mm-hmm. want to go to the gym, that you're not yeah. going to sit on the couch. Right. And I feel like the more that becomes a habit, the less of a struggle it becomes. You know, I'm not saying that I don't have days where I'm like, fuck, I'm tired, I don't want to train, you know. Mm-hmm. But they're pretty few and far between. Nowadays, if I don't train, it's kind of more of a, fuck, I don't have time to do anything, you know. I don't mm-hmm. I literally don't have time to. You know, and it's something that kind of like is a little more frustrating that I can't go. You know, and there's also something else you mentioned, like you used to kind of have an all or nothing approach. And I can definitely relate to that. I used to feel that way too. I would definitely be all or nothing. And I would burn and burn and burn and burn right into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd like just totally lose gas, and you know, it was kind of a vicious cycle. It's definitely something I've experienced, and I used to kind of like beat myself up a lot about not just like gym, but just productivity in general. Like if I say I took a weekend where I didn't do any projects, I didn't, you know, all I did was kind of handle my stuff and, you know, read. Maybe I had a really good book. Mm-hmm. You know, when the weekend was over, I was like, damn, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything this week. And I kind of like beat myself up about it a little bit. And it wasn't till right. I got a little older that I was like, you know, that's therapeutic sometimes. Sometimes you need that. Like mm-hmm. we've talked on here about deloads in training. And yep. they're definitely important. And I think sometimes we need deloads in life as well. Otherwise, you're going to have that crash and burn effect. You know, actually, this kind of ties into that book that I just finished by Dave Tate, Raising the Bar. In the very beginning, he talks about this blast versus dust concept he had mm-hmm. that he came up with when he was a kid. And the idea was, I mean, pretty much just all or nothing. Like, he was just totally killing it or, you know, doing nothing. And he said that it wasn't till later that he realized, like, saying that blast is 10%, dust is 10%, that still leaves 80% of life. And he said that other 80% is, like, that's where everything happens. That's, mm-hmm. you know, that's what you should focus on. There are times for blast and dust, but it shouldn't be like, you shouldn't make that your life. You
right.
know, you should remember the other 80%. The other 80% is important as well.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's an interesting concept. And I think, you know, you mentioned that, the whole crash and burn thing. I think the beginning half of this week was like a crash and burn for me because yeah. I was just so overwhelmed. And when was it? It was Tuesday. Tuesday was like the worst day, right? I was just so overwhelmed. It was just, everything was just, I just felt like the entire world was on my shoulders, you know what I mean? And, it was like no matter what, I couldn't catch a break. You know what I mean? And so I was like, we put the kids to bed. You know, and I told Nick, I was like, I can't work out here. I'm going to the gym. And I went to the gym and I put my headphones on. And then I just was like, I'm doing a basic workout, push pull. Like, you know, I'm not worrying about like my lower body, my hips, you know, because of that issue. I'm just, upper body, let's, you know, push pull, basic, you know, You get your compound movements, like, simple, right? Headphones on, music up, and just, like, go, right? And, mm-hmm. dude, it was so incredibly therapeutic for me, like, to just crush it and, you know, train to failure. And, dude, it was awesome. And I felt so much better walking out than I did when I walked in. And I was like, I just, that moment walking out, I was like, it's been, you know, 3 days, 4 days since I've trained. I need to stay on top of this because, like, this is my medicine. Like, this is what keeps me sane. This is what, you know, helps me deal with the bullshit and everything that just is weighing down on me. And, you know, as of late, because I've been stressed, I've slacked on that. But I think it's important to keep that in the back of your head, is that, like, this shit can be very, very therapeutic. I don't know. Have you found at all that training has been therapeutic for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's been times where, you know, a lot of people live by the motto, lift angry. I don't really prescribe to that as, like, just in general. But there's been times where I've done that, and it's been a really good outlet for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I have found that, yeah, I mean, if I'm really pissed off about something, or even just really stressed, yeah, you go in and you get a good workout, and it just, you're not focused necessarily on the things that are pissing you off, especially, I mean, I don't think you even have to be really into a routine for this to work. I think that you can just go into the gym with the idea of having a good workout and just go in there and kill it, and you will feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm actually glad you brought this up, because I've been hearing a lot about anxiety and things like bullying in the news and on the media. And, you know, one of the things that they keep mentioning about anxiety is, like, that social media and, like, how connected we are to everything now is, mm-hmm. it sort of, like, ups the expectations. Like, I used to say, even when I was a teenager, that I felt like TV, in a way, like, not that TV is bad, but I always felt like it gave unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you'd see that family on TV, and,
yeah,
you know, and you'd be like, well, that's what life is supposed to be like, right? Well, why isn't my life like that? And I always kind of had a general sense that there was some fakery there, you know? But I think with social media, like, the ante has been upped so much, like, it's just, like, a whole nother level now. And
mm-hmm.
I think most people are in agreement that it's a big source of the anxiety you see with kids nowadays. So, you know, one of the things that, as a dad, you know, I think about is, well, how do I keep my kid from being one of these overly anxious kids? Mm-hmm. And for a long time, like, I was just like, man, do you just keep them off the devices for longer? Or, I mean, eventually they're going to have to use them anyway.
Right.
So what's the solution here? And then it hit me that a big part of the problem is watching and not doing. So, like, think about if you were to watch a football game, or watch mm-hmm. a bunch of football games, but you never played football. I feel like it makes a gap that much greater in how you feel like that person is so much above you, you know, because you've never tried it. You're not bettering yourself. And I think that, like, and it doesn't have to be physical. I mean, I think physical pursuits certainly have a different kind of effect than a lot of other pursuits, because of all the chemicals that are released, like the dopamine, or not dopamine, that's more the social media thing. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it made me think, like, you know, I want to make sure that he's doing things himself and not just watching other people, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
That was actually something I wanted to bring up, was what your feeling is about giving your children access to, like, social media and everything early. You know, I think what you said about, you know, how TV, back in the day, TV, you felt that TV shows and whatnot set unrealistic expectations. I think that's just amplified now because, you know, you can go on Instagram and only follow millionaires and people who make a shit ton of money. And to you, to what you see on the internet, everybody, the majority of people are like that. You know what I mean? And so from your perspective, the majority of people are, you know, millionaires. Okay. But in reality, there's a very, 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 very small number of people who actually make $1 million a year or more. And so when you live in that, you're kind of living in a bubble then, right? Like, it's not reality. Unless you recognize that, hey, all of these people that I follow are, mm-hmm. like, the 0.5% of, you know, the United States or of North America. And so my point with that is, who do we generally follow on social media? We follow people who we look up to. We follow people who we aspire to be like. We follow people who we feel like we get value from. And if, you know, you follow somebody who you like generally, it's because you want to maybe get to that point in life, or you want to be like that person in some way or another. And so if you just surround yourself, and I don't mean, and surrounding yourself, like, physically with people who are at a position that you want to be is a very, very smart tactic to do. But when you do it digitally on social media, I think it kind of puts you mentally in a bubble, and it can be difficult to come back to reality after that.
Yeah, and I think the reason why is social media, you don't get the big picture.
Yep.
If it's someone that you know in real life, you probably know other aspects of their life.
Right, exactly. And so that's something that I have struggled with the past few years. When I first started doing the personal training, you know, I digitally surrounded myself. I put myself in that situation, essentially. And, you know, it wasn't good for me mentally, I don't think. You know, and I'm, I think, and I was in my 20s, you know, I was in my 20s I just turned 20, 21, 22, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, imagine if somebody like me, okay, who's in his 20s, so I'm legally an adult, right? Like, I'm over 18, I am right. An adult. I can vote, I can, you know, drive a car, I can do all these things that adults can do. If somebody like me is recognizing that it's putting me in a bad mental state, you know, that just says that I'm self-aware enough to realize, you know, after the fact, like, hey, that was not a good place for me to be mentally. Imagine how long a 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old would spend in that bad mental place and not have the self-awareness to realize what's actually going on and what they're doing to themselves. So I think that, you know, educating that as parents, we should educate our kids as much as we can to that fact. You know, like, you can surround yourself digitally with whoever you want to, mm-hmm. you know, whereas in real life, you know, you can only surround yourself with certain people. You can't necessarily get to that CEO of that big company, or, you know, that professional bodybuilder, you know, or anybody else, just because there's barriers in the way. But social media breaks down those barriers, and there's definitely positives and negatives from it. But, you know, in my opinion, I don't think we should... I come from a standpoint, the way that I want to parent my kids as they grow up is more of a hands-off approach, you know, and just my goal is to be there as obviously their father, and teach them, you know, the right and wrong way to be. But you know, at the end of the day, I want them to know and understand that they're their own person and they can make their own decisions. And you know, you're going to make some fucked up decisions just because you're young and dumb. But eventually, you know, you're going to grow up and make certain decisions. You're allowed to have your own opinion. And, you know, that opinion may change as you get older. But, you know, what I'm trying to say here is... I want to educate my children to understand and to have this self-awareness, right? And to understand that, you know, I can surround myself with whoever I want to on the internet. And from my perspective, the world will look a certain way. But mm-hmm. I want them to also be able to step back and look at reality.
Yeah, you want and to see, make sure that they have perspective.
Yes.
That they understand the difference between reality and fakery, and that they realize that what you see on the internet is one piece of the picture. I mean,
yes.
And that's not just cool. Social media. That is everything on the internet.
Yeah. It's cool. You know? It's fun. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, it's not real life, you know?
Yeah.
And a prime example of that is, you know, how much can you squat right now? If you had to squat, you know, a certain amount, like, you know,
I'd say, what would you say you could squat for? 375 right now.
Okay. Damn, bro. Fuck. Okay. So 375, right? You know, and how much do you weigh?
Right now I'm probably about 183.
Okay. So guys, let's just compare you to powerlifters, right? Mm-hmm. So powerlifters in your weight class, powerlifters and Olympic lifters in your weight class, you know, are probably, you know, like elite. I'm talking about the elite, right?
Right, right.
Are probably like way above you, right?
Yeah.
And same with me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to belittle you at all. They're probably like way above you, the elite of the elite.
Yeah.
So if all you follow is the elite of the elite, you could look at them and compare them to you, and be like, "Fuck, I'm not that good."
Yeah, you know what I mean? I could look at Russell Orhi and go, well, he can squat 700 without a problem. What's wrong with me?
Yeah, yeah, I suck, you know? Mm-hmm. But you compare you to the average American and you're fucking Hercules. You know what I mean? So, like, and I don't give a fuck who you are. Like, if you're competitive, if you have a competitive mindset, you're comparing yourself to other people.
Like,
straight up. You know, this whole, like, don't compare yourself to other people.
And even if you're, like, not competitive, it's human nature to compare. It's something that we do, and it's a little unfortunate. And it's not totally without merit, but yeah, it's definitely a human trait to compare ourselves.
I also don't
think
it's wrong, you know. I think if you were to act on it or treat somebody a certain way because you compared yourself to them and you didn't like what you saw, like treating them a particular way because of that, that's wrong, especially if that way is a negative way. But, like, it's what we do. As you know, we compare, you know, it's this one or this one, well, let's compare them, you know what I mean? So, like, if you compare yourself to the elite athlete, you suck. But if you compare yourself to the average American, you're strong as fuck. Like, Most people can't even put a bar on their back and squat without potentially hurting themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for you to be able to do 375, it's like, holy fuck. Like, that's insane. And yeah. I totally forget what the fuck point I was trying to make here, but
well, I'm gonna pick up from there then, just real quick. Like, so one thing that I read a long time ago, and I can't remember who said it, but it was like a famous CEO, and he said, "I want to surround myself by people that are better than me."
Mm-hmm.
And his point was, like, his job is not to be the best at everything. It's to understand enough of everything and to have people surrounding him that were better than him at these individual things, you know,
right.
A good, mm-hmm. a really good marketing guy, a really good finance, you know, whatever. So when I think of who I want to surround myself with, I find that I try to take that approach and, you know, not just that approach, because I'm not running a company, but I want to do things that will improve my life.
Right.
And I think that, like, so some of these guys that are world-class that I follow on Instagram, for example, they kind of are there to remind me of what is humanly possible, because you've been lifting for long enough that I'm sure that you've heard the negative comments from people that don't really understand what you're doing, mm-hmm. and they'll tell you things
careful.
Like,
yeah, be careful of your
don't
back.
Hurt yourself.
Don't you know, hurt
you're
gonna
yourself regret
deadlifting.
That later.
Yep,
that kind of stuff. And it, I understand it's coming from a good place, but you know, one of the things that that I've heard before is like, you know, the body isn't made to do that. Okay, well.
Yeah, your body also isn't made to sit on the couch and consume 3,500 right. calories a day and live a sedentary lifestyle, but here we are.
Yeah, but, you know, like, when I see, for example, someone like Jamal Browner, he's in the 242-pound weight class. He just deadlifted 971 pounds. Like, crazy, like, stupid fast. Okay,
let that sink in. Like, yeah. That's fucking a lot.
Yeah, close to 1,000. He's actually lifted 1,000 pounds before, but I believe right. it was with straps.
Okay,
but anyway, and this guy isn't geared or anything. Like, he doesn't wear a deadlift suit or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it reminds me, like, I know that I will most likely never. I'm never going to deadlift 971 pounds, yeah. you know?
Yeah,
I'm
most
not
likely never.
Dedicated enough to the craft to get to that point.
You also have a family, you know, that you
exactly.
have to support and a lifestyle that you maintain, you know, so.
Yeah, but what it does tell me is that if I want to deadlift 500 or 600 pounds, that it's attainable,
mm-hmm.
that it is, the human body can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also important to have other people that are in your feed that kind of keep you more grounded. People that maybe lift less than you, or maybe I like to have a lot of people that are around my strength level.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like, especially if you're working out by yourself all the time, like in a garage gym type scenario. I feel like that kind of, it's not a true replacement for having, like, a gym partner, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, that's kind of, like, another way to kind of, like, push you. Because if you see you and your buddy are both going for 500, and, you know, and he's getting a little closer, you want to keep edging in on him, you know?
Yeah.
That
might help you be a little more disciplined, you know? The
yeah.
next day when you're choosing the foods you're going to eat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It helps you, gives you that little extra push when you want to bitch out to where you're like, you know what? If I do this and, or if I skip today and he goes, that's one more leg up he's got on me. You know, like
mm-hmm.
that competitive side. So, yeah, it's definitely not a bad thing. And I would always tell people to compare themselves to, like, their former self first. Because,
of course,
I mean, dude, there are people that have been lifting for less than a year that can deadlift 600 pounds. And it's like, that's crazy to me. But some people are...
Fuck you, bro.
Yeah. Some people are capable of doing that. You know, like, most of the time in a situation like that, it's someone that weighs significantly more than me. You know, but either way...
You never know what somebody's background is either. You know? Yeah. And your genetics dictate a huge portion of this.
Yes. And your life situation also... factors in, not that you don't have control over that, but there are certainly aspects that, like, for example, if you and I didn't really care about improving our overall life situation by, you know, moving into homes that were more of what we wanted and what will serve our lives better, I mean, that would take away a ton of stress.
Short term. And, like, I mean, especially for you. Like, you've been waiting, I think we talked last, like, 11 months for them to build your new house. Like, holy fuck. To me, that's, I don't know. To me, that's a lot of stress. Especially for 11 months.
It is. And there's a lot of little points in there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, you know, if my wife brought home the bacon, bro, I would be so consistent. I would be mad consistent with working out. But I 100% agree with you. You know, and at the end of the day, like, I'm not preaching to compare yourself to other people. That's not what I want anybody to think that I'm saying right now. What I'm saying is it's fucking human nature to compare yourself to other people, and it's what we do, right? It's not necessarily good or bad. It's just, and I think if you're competitive, you do it more because, like, you're just competitive. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, you can compare yourself to other people and still not be a shithead and still be a good person and be a decent human being, you know, but, at the end of the day, you should be comparing yourself to yourself. But it's something we're gonna do. Like,
you should always keep perspective. I mean, that's the most important thing about it.
And then I think this whole circles back, right, to keeping perspective, to educating your kids to keep perspective when you give them that first phone, and, you know, let them have access to the world and say, you know, like, this is a big responsibility that you have now. You have access to a ton of information, and you need to be careful what you surround yourself with, because you could put yourself in this, like, mental bubble of how the world is. And if you just put the phone down and look around, it's a lot different most of the time for all of us. It's a lot different what's around us compared to, you know, what we bombard ourselves with. The realities are very different, and I think you would be doing your children a very good service if you waited to give them that access until they recognized you could recognize that they had that self-awareness and that ability to differentiate, you know, reality and you know, pretend, essentially.
I agree. And that's a good way to think about it, is, you know, kind of limiting the use of devices until, well, especially social media, until they have some sort of understanding of perspective and that everyone's opinion doesn't matter. I don't know I'm not sure where I got it, but even from a young age, if somebody that wasn't my friend said something to me that was mean or whatever, I didn't care. I really just did not care. It wouldn't really faze me. I'd probably just throw something back at him, but what would always affect me more is if it was someone whose opinion I valued, a friend, or, you know, yeah, a friend or family member, if they said something that was mean or demeaning, you know, that would be the kind of thing that would circle in my head continuously that I would think about. But if it were like a random bully at school, I didn't care. So I kind of hope that my son picks that up from me, that he understands that. Hopefully I can figure out how to teach him that. A lot of times they learn just by seeing the way that you react to things.
Dude, I always have had that problem. Ever since my parents got a divorce and we switched schools. And I think that's what, like, caused it, because when we moved, and so I was going to private school up until third grade. At the end of third grade, my parents got a divorce. You know, we moved away from my dad, and I went to public school, and I was so worried. I was just worried about making new friends, right? And, like, of course it happened, and I ended up, like, making a ton of friends, but I was so worried about it, right? And I think that's maybe where it all started for me, because I have struggled with not giving a shit about what people think for a long time. And, I mean, I'm the same as you in the sense that it hurts more when it's somebody who I care about, you know what I mean? And I respect and I value, you know, somebody who I value their opinion, that hurts a lot more. But it still bothers me sometimes, even if it's somebody I don't know. Like, and I'll catch myself all the time, like, why the fuck? And I'll literally just, like, talk to myself, like, why the fuck are you worried about what they think? Like, you're literally never going to see this person again. Who the fuck cares what they think? Like, fuck them. Your paths will probably never cross again. Fuck them. Like, literally, fuck them. And it's just like, dude, I struggle with that so much. And, you know, maybe, like, the next book that I read.
I think that is a lot more common than my perspective. And like I said, I wish I knew how I learned that, or, you know, like what it was that my parents did that made me that, or maybe it was just something about my personality that I've always been that way.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been like the confidence that they instilled in you. You know what I mean? Like, they could have just.
Funny thing, I was definitely not an overly confident kid, but maybe, you know, actually, now that I'm older, I do realize that I have been more confident than I thought I was. Okay. What I mean by that is, as I've gotten older and had some of these in-depth conversations from people that either I knew when I was younger or maybe even that I know now that I'm older, you come to find out that most people are insecure. Most people are very insecure. And most of the time, people are dealing with one thing or another. And I think we have a tendency to think that, like, sometimes we think that we're all alone, or that we're the only ones that are dealing with something like this.
Right.
And a lot of times, there are a lot of people that are dealing with stuff like that.
Everybody is, man.
Yeah.
Everybody is. And we all show it differently. You know what I mean? We all put up our defenses in a different way, you know, when the situation calls for putting up defenses, we all do it in a different way. Yeah. You know, I generally tend to shut down and just be quiet when that happens. you know? That's my defense mechanism. It's just like, that's, and then I will think of something that I should have said like an hour after the fact.
And oh, be like, yeah.
I would have defended myself so good. Why the fuck didn't I say this?
That was such a good burn if I only had it an hour ago.
Yeah, like, fuck, where was this thought a fucking hour ago?
Thanks a lot, brain.
Yeah, right? So, yeah, I think you're right, but I think that because we all handle it differently, we think that's the way that we handle it, is that's the way that you handle it. You know what I mean? That's the way that we handle it, but we don't realize, like, some people might get defensive. Some people might shut down. Some people might, you know, have that, like, awkward laugh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody handles it differently.
Yeah. And or deal with it with humor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or deal with it, you know, with a substance or, fuck, I don't know, deal with it with the gym. Like, let's just come full circle here, man.
Yeah, you know exactly. I mean? And, you know, I heard Joe Sullivan talking a while ago. You know who he is? He's a power lifter.
The name
lifter.
Sounds very familiar. Yeah, I don't know him.
It's not important. But, you know, he was saying, like, he hears people say a lot that the gym is their therapy. And this is a guy that, he's definitely in the boat of fucked up upbringing, like, dealt with a lot of fucked up stuff in his life.
Right.
And he was like, you know, he's like, I get it. Of all people, I get it. He said, but if it's, like, truly your therapy, if you need therapy, like, go and get yourself figured out. He's like,
right.
If it's your stress relief, that's different. You know? And
I
think that's, like, an important thing to just throw in there. Like if you have a rough day and the gym is your release, like, cool. There's no problem there. But if you're, like, if you have a serious depression problem, you know.
And you should talk to somebody.
Yeah, you should talk to somebody, you know.
Oh, I agree.
And
it doesn't have to
be somebody professional, in my opinion. I think that can be a friend or family member, you know?
Well, dude, they make it, now with technology, it's becoming so much easier. Like, I forget the name of this app, but it's, like, it's essentially an app that connects you with therapists, you know, via face chat, right? And you can talk to somebody from wherever, like, at whenever, and you obviously got to pay, you know what I mean? Like, you pay their rate and I don't know if insurance could get involved or not, if you were to be able to use, you know, your health insurance to cover something like that. But, you know, the fact that you can hop on the phone on a video chat with somebody at any time, from anywhere, as long as you're connected to the internet, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that it was out there. It makes sense.
Facebook must think that I'm depressed or something, because I see it in my Facebook ads. But, like, I've also heard about it on some of the podcasts that I listen to. They, I think the Jordan Harbinger show, he advertises it. He has in the past. But, it's essentially this service that you hop on the app and, you know, you might have a particular therapist that you speak with, you know what I mean? And, like, so it's not like you just get a random person. Like, you can find somebody, think of it as like a dating app where you find somebody, but instead of finding a date, you're finding a therapist to just speak with over the phone, and then you can hop on the phone with them whenever. And I think it's a fantastic idea, and I'm sure
especially for introverts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure because it's digital and, you know, there's no brick and mortar place you're going to, the rates that you would be paying is probably very, very significantly lower than
have to imagine it would be.
Yeah, at least a little bit lower, like, because they can do it from anywhere, you can do it from anywhere, like, you gotta, you know what I mean, expect
and
some type of...
It sounds like it's an on-demand type of service, too, which, you know,
mm-hmm.
in which a situation world, like that's becoming that, more and more common.
Yeah.
So it's good to see that type of thing going out into things other than grocery delivery.
Dude, I think it's phenomenal. I think it's a phenomenal idea. I really do. But with that, thanks for listening to this episode of Drive with Woody Fit and Bauer Power. If you want to catch us on the gram, you can find me at Woody_Fit13.
And you can find me at BauerPower82. That's BauerPower82. Let us know if you need anything.
Hell yeah, right on.